say they need somebody all the time, all the time, all the time, yeah, all the time, all the time I feel all right, all the time I feel so good, all the time I feel all right, so good, feel all right. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Mom. Yes, it is, Mom. Yes, it is, Mom. Feel alright. Feel alright. Feel alright.
It's a few minutes after 9 o'clock at 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine, or for the next hour of programming. The opinions and views expressed are not necessarily those KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. It's time now for Talking Animals on KUCI. That's music from the Sugar Cubes. Remember them? With a song called Chihuahua, which, sadly in a way, ties into the news item we'll get into shortly. But that's as we kind of slide into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine, and streaming live on the internet, of course, at KUCI.org. And the whole enterprise is broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Right off the bat, I'd like to tell you that for the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI, and I absolutely urge you to use that number and call us at any point in the show. Don't be shy. I'm telling you, we love, love, love to get calls. Other ways to be in touch include emailing us at talkinganimals@aol.com and checking out our fab website at talkinganimals.net. Again, make no mistake, that's .net, folks. Also, before we want to move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another bracing rendition of the Serena Sharp Show. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. We aim for a reasonable balance of those elements, as you can readily glean by visiting our website at talkinganimals.net, where just about every show now, we're totally caught up thanks to webmaster extraordinaire John Taylor, every broadcast ever of Talking Animals is on our website, archived there. Beautiful. But clearly the heart of the program, as you can see from checking those things out, is the interview we conduct each week with some notable inhabitant of some province of the animal world. Today, our guest is Heather Herman, the 15-year-old Denver resident and animal activist who made national news when she decided to take a stand against circuses that use animals. The upshot of her efforts is that there is now an initiative on the August 10th ballot asking Denver voters if they want to ban wild animal performances. In addition to the measure coming up for a vote in a couple of weeks, her conversation with us today is timely in that Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey is holding forth locally. Yesterday, they finished their stint at the L.A. Sports Arena. And on Wednesday, they opened their engagement at the Arrowhead Pond in Anaheim. And then beyond that, I believe it's on to San Diego. So, and of course, moreover, yet another Ringling animal died recently, a lion named Clyde, who died July 12th in a train car en route from Phoenix to Fresno. Some questions about whether Clyde was getting proper ventilation, water on a hot ride. So there's much to discuss with Heather Herman, including how she arrived at her position opposing circuses that use animals, the effort behind getting that measure on the ballot, and what Ringling and perhaps others have done to oppose the measure and nicely but firmly discredit her. So we'll get into all that when Heather joins us in a few minutes here on Talking Animals. Maybe not so nicely, by the way. Backing up a moment. So anyway, meanwhile, it's time for our weekly look at the items of interest in animal news. Want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals, not only this week's animal news items, but also any other animal topic you'd care to discuss. Announcements, maybe you have a fundraiser or an animal-related benefit or some such thing coming up. Observations about the animal world, of course, any news stories you might have spotted that we may or may not be aware of. Otherwise, all of that would be most welcome. You can call out right in, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. Turning now, then, to interesting or important developments recently in animal news. Typically, these are local, regional, national, sometimes international news stories, animal stories of note that seem important for us to spotlight. And then, with any luck, in some cases, it's been known to happen, to get your comments on them, discuss them. So we always try to include a few announcements of upcoming events when there's things on the immediate horizon, at least locally, if not beyond. And so we'll have those as well. And so all that said, it's time to, yes, wait for it, talk turkey, as it were. Produced as always by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department, let's get started. There is lots of animal news, locally, regionally, nationally, and beyond. Locally, let's start with a headline, one of them, from the LA Times recently. Orange County man is state's first West Nile death. And It goes on to report a 57-year-old Orange County man is the first person in California to die of West Nile virus, a mosquito-borne disease that is spreading through the state, health officials announced Thursday. Authorities also revealed that the virus has appeared in 8 more California counties during the past few weeks, bringing the total to 16. They expect the disease, which is transmitted from birds to humans by mosquitoes, will soon reach all corners of the state. Quote, "We're in for a significant West Nile virus season. We need to take the risk very seriously," said Dr. Richard J. Jackson, California's public health officer. "I'd be surprised if this is the last death in the state." Now, speaking of surprise, and sort of as an offshoot of the story, unfortunately, but I'm sure that this mistake will not be made again, but there is sort of an offshoot news story from this, which is that the family of the man who died only found out that it was the West Nile virus that killed him from an LA Times reporter. Following up, having pieced together the information and sort of added two and two together and come up with that four. But the local health officials and others involved did not contact his family to tell him that. So, I guess needless to say, pretty upset about that. And also, perhaps needless to say, they are, I think, tightening and refining their process by which they would make those determinations and then, you know, announce them to the media and others, making sure, of course, that they're doing the proper thing by way of the family first. So we'll keep a close eye on all those West Nile virus-related pieces of news. Also, we've been talking a lot, off and on for months, but especially the last few weeks, about Ruby. That's the elephant that was sent off, ripped from her friend, her elephant friend Gita, from the L.A. Zoo, and sent off to the Knoxville Zoo. And there's been a huge effort. This amazing woman, Catherine Doyle, a private citizen, basically, or at least, you know, filing a lawsuit in that capacity several months ago, and we had her on the show because she just thought this was wrong, and as taxpayers, she thought that she and others like her had a say in this. Well, you know, that sort of mushroomed, and there was lots of pressure, protests, letter writing, email writing. So the upshot is, Mayor James K. Hahn has sort of, you know, ordered that Ruby be returned. So at first blush, that seems like a victory, and on some level it is, because Ruby certainly was not integrating at all into the Knoxville Zoo, was isolated from other elephants, and seemed to be pretty miserable there. But, meanwhile, part of the reason for sending Ruby off was that the LA Zoo has decided to have habitat display of just Asian elephants. And Ruby, as you might guess by now, is an African elephant. So, it's sort of questionable. I mean, is this a good step for Ruby? I guess yes, to get away from Knoxville Zoo, but is being returned to the LA Zoo, there's not an exhibit for her to go. There's not even going to be an African exhibit at any point from now on. So there's still much to be sorted out. I think a lot of the people really that are looking after, out for at least Ruby, have for some time wanted her, and still now, maybe more so than ever, to be sent to the Elephant Sanctuary in Nashville, Tennessee, an amazing, I think it's 2,500 acres. And they're willing to take her. So, and actually, sometime in the next few weeks or so, we're going to have Carol Buckley, the director, founder of the Elephant Sanctuary, on. Perhaps talking about this, hopefully this will be more resolved than it is now. But anyway, for any and all information on Ruby and what's happening, and also how maybe you can get involved to kind of help keep pressure on and come up with a satisfactory resolution for Ruby on this, www.saveruby.org. All your information, updates, where to write people to voice your concerns, see if we can get Ruby totally set up properly, or, you know, as properly as it can be given what's already happened. Another gigantic piece of news, since we all last met here on Monday morning, was the video released by PETA, what was going on at that chicken processing plant. Pilgrim Pride Corporation, and The video showed all kinds of horrible things, stomping on chickens, flinging them into a wall. I mean, we don't need to go into too much detail, but, I mean, it's actually worse than some things I've already mentioned. So, and of course, that's been a huge primary campaign of Peter's for some time, the KFC focus. So, it was interesting, in the in the New York Times, yes, there was a huge piece, a column called Gaining Ground, and the headline is, At Last, a Company Takes PETA Seriously, and sort of really chronicling how that played out, and that Yum Brands, the parent company of the KFC Corporation, called the tape appalling, sent in inspectors, told a plant owned by the Pilgrim Pride Corporation to clean up its act or lose its contract, and Pilgrim's Pride already fired 11 workers and managers, said it would take make everyone at its 25 plants sign promises to treat animals humanely. So there's more, you might check that out online, but sounds like, you know, at this point, very successful campaign to get KFC and its suppliers to alter its practices, which is certainly what PETA had in mind, obviously. So, all right, well, we might not have time for too many more things here because we want to get into the Comedy Corner and then, of course, our guest, Heather Herman, but on the front page of today's LA Times news section, I mean, right there alongside, you know, coverage of the convention and what John Kerry's up to, etc., this was a major, major story, as well it should be. Headline, Mexican puppy mills breed grief in Southland. A subheadline there is, owners learn too late that their new pets are diseased or too young to survive on their own. I'll just read a bit of it. And again, if you're local, you can check it out. If you're not so local, you can easily check it out online. I think the first day, the LA Times will let you look at stuff without being a, you know, subscriber to their online edition. So, Dateline, as we like to say, San Diego. Smugglers are flooding the Southern California pet market with disease-ridden puppies from Mexico, prompting law enforcement crackdowns, raising public health concerns, and breaking the heart of owners who watch their dogs die, often within hours of buying them. Animal control officials estimate that hundreds, perhaps thousands of puppies have died since an underground market stretching from puppy mills in Mexico to street corners in San Diego and Los Angeles was uncovered last year. The puppies, usually small breeds like poodles, pugs, and chihuahuas, just keep in mind we started with a song called Chihuahua and we're getting to another thing called Chihuahua momentarily that hooks into this, are typically sold through newspaper ads to bargain-seeking buyers who pay cash. The dogs, bundled in hand crates, appear healthy, but some suffer from parvovirus, distemper, scabies, and other hard-to-detect ailments. Separated from their mothers too early, some die from starvation because they are so young they lack teeth to chew food. Such very young dogs often fall prey to diseases because their immune systems are not fully developed. Marietta Rutan of Oceanside paid $600 to a Moreno Valley woman for a Maltese puppy that died less than one day after the purchase. Quote, I tried to cuddle and cradle it and be good to it, but it wouldn't eat, move, or do anything, Rutan said. I was going to name it China, but it didn't live long enough, she said. So it goes on from there. It's a fairly extensive story. Again, I urge people to check it out. And, of course, as always, we really urge anyone that's looking to add an animal companion to their household to adopt. Go to your shelter, go to your pound, never buy. And one last quick thing, and then we're going to have to move on. Maybe we'll get time to return. There's lots more news items, but we're just running short here of time. But another sort of related quick news item I'll hit is animal breeder gets probation for keeping 230 chihuahuas in squalor. And just briefly, Emma Regina Carter, an animal breeder convicted of keeping more than 230 chihuahuas in squalid conditions at her Acton home, was sentenced Thursday to 5 years probation and barred from owning any animals during that time. Harder, 73, was also ordered to receive psychological treatment. Harder seemed unmoved by the sentence, a far cry from her reaction during her trial 4 months ago. She collapsed in the Lancaster courtroom after she was found guilty of 4 felony counts of animal abuse and 4 misdemeanor charges, including battery on an animal control officer. It goes on from there. 230 chihuahuas. just let that sit for a moment. All right, well, we're going to have to end our news segment at that moment. With any luck, we'll get back to some maybe later in the show. But, of course, if there are ever any news stories or announcements, events you'd like to bring to our attention, please feel free to email us those items at talkinganimals@AOL.com. We'd also love to encourage you to email us with comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, animal comedy bits, any other animal topic that's on your mind. That email again, talkinganimals@AOL.com. And I'm pleased to remind you, yes, maybe redundantly so, but so be it, about the Talking Animals website. We hope you'll check out the site, talkinganimals.net, again, .net, and sign up for the email list so we can keep you posted on upcoming guests and all the other pertinent announcements. You'll also find archives and synopses of every single darn show we've ever broadcast, folks. Again, thank you to John Taylor for awesome job as always, and we're all caught up, and it's very cool. There's also assorted photographs and articles, all kinds of links, other audio pieces and more. So please stop by and take a look around that site. Again, it's talkinganimals.net. It's time now to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which is always, of course, involves an animal-oriented piece of comedy. This is Eddie Izzard with a piece called Hatred and Sharks on today's Comedy Corner here at KUCI.
So, it was awful. All this shouting and screaming and everyone. So I was asking the audience, this hatred thing, very powerful thing. A lot of wars have been fought with hatred. A lot of battles have been fought by just because they come all this way. But hatred is the engine there. So I was saying the English, do you hate the French? They were, yeah, the French. So what about the Welsh? Oh, yeah, we hate them. Why? No reason. And the Americans? Oh, yeah, we hate the Americans. Everyone hated the Americans. Sorry about that. I just thought I'd... just... passing on information, all right? I'm just a messenger. I'm Joan of Arc. And so I can't tell you here because I don't do active research. I do passive research, the easier version where you let the research come to you. Come on, research. Come on, research. With the telecontrol. Come on. Oh, a program about sharks. And then I know about sharks, you know? I know if you kiss them, it disarms them. That's what I know. Apparently, so... you can take that with you. Next time you're sliding down a shark's gullet, then just give him a big snog on the nose. You know, as a last resort, it may work. And he may go, bye-bye, Mr. Sharky. Or toothy. They never had, like Flipper, they never had the shark that did that, did they? What's that, Sharky? Three boys fell out of a boat. They're drowning.
You're no bleeping good, are you?
No fucking good, are you?
Oh,
okay. Look her up. Sharky, the friendly shark, but not too friendly.
All right, that was Eddie Izzard with a piece called Hatred and Sharks, taken from a CD entitled Circle. The Comedy Corner is, of course, one of the signature features of Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and you're indeed listening to Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI. Broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. As many of you know, we also stream live on the internet at kuci.org. Some of you, no doubt, are listening that very way. And some of you perhaps arrived through our swell website, talkinganimals.net. Before we proceed, I'm obliged to remind you that the opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. Okay, while we get to today's guest, Heather Herman, on the phone with us, this is as good a time as any to hear an animal tune, which we're sort of hearing in the background already. This is Badly Drawn Boy with the Bewildered Beast. We're talking animals here at KUCI. Enjoy, and we'll be right back with Heather Herman. This is music from Badly Drawn Boy with a piece called Bewilder Beast here on KUCI. Earlier in the show, I mentioned that this week's guest is Heather Herman, a 15-year-old Denver resident and animal activist who made national news when she decided to take a stand against circuses that use animals, spearheading an effort to place an initiative on the August 10th ballot asking Denver voters if they want to ban wild animal performances. There's much more to the story, of course, but we should get it from Heather herself. So let's remind you of the phone number if you'd like to join us in the conversation, 949-824-5824. As we welcome Heather Herman to Talking Animals. Heather, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you for joining us, Heather. Welcome to Talking Animals.
Thank you.
So, of course, I want to discuss your feelings about circuses that use animals and everything that goes with that. But first, I'd just like to ask, did you always love animals? Have you grown up with animals?
Oh, most certainly. I've had dogs growing up. I have a cat, and my parents just pretty much always taught me that, to be nice to animals and be humane and be nice to people, et cetera, et cetera. But I really didn't start getting involved into a lot of the, more deeper issues of animals until I was about in the sixth grade or so. My dad, he used to work with this guy many, many years ago who was really big into animal rights. And, of course, he used to bring my dad home, like, these pamphlets about different things, animal testing, puppy mills, greyhound racing, circuses. And, one day he would just sort of toss them away or throw them down somewhere. One day I just picked it up and read it, and I was kind of really upset with what it said, and I wanted to do more research into it, and so I just started doing lots and lots of research about circuses, circus animals, how animals live in the wild compared to circuses, and it really caught my eye, and it was just really interesting to read about the behavior of these animals and why they don't belong in circuses, and just decided I wanted to take a stand and do something about it.
Wow, well, that's really great. Now, is that about the time that you wrote the letter that in some ways seemed to kind of kick this off, or is that sort of the sequence of events, the letter that you wrote?
Yeah, pretty much. I wrote the letter. Let's see. I started this when I was probably about, got the idea for it when I was about 12, and then wrote the letter when I was 13 to the editor. We had already started. I'd gotten in touch with an animal group here called the RMAD, Rocky Mountain Animal Defense, and
okay.
We had gotten a couple individuals together to already start working on this, and it was a couple months after that I had written that letter.
I see. And if you don't mind, Heather, I might, for our listeners, just read that letter very quickly. So this was to the editor at the Denver Post, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes.
Okay. So it just starts off, through my research, I have found animal activity circuses to be a real nuisance to society. Exotic animals do not belong in the circus. It begins with the circus removing the animals from their natural habitat. Animals should be left in the wild. Elephants alone run up to 40 miles a day and live with others of their kind, and in the circus they can't do that. The animals go through physically painful training methods. They are forced to live in cages where they eat, sleep, and live in their own waste. They can't get exercise to meet their physical needs. Though I'm only 13, I strongly feel that animal act circuses have an unfortunate impact on today's youth. If they are taught that animal abuse is okay, how will this affect them as adults? How will this affect them around other people? Why let the circus teach us that abuse and neglect is okay? Boycott circuses with animal acts. Signed, Heather Herman. Wow, that's a pretty cool letter for 13.
Thank you.
Did you? What kind of response did that tend to get?
Well, I think at the time, nobody really knew that this was going down, that it would be an actual issue on the ballot. So, I guess, it got really, other than the newspaper and the editorials, it got no other attention than that. So I guess it just depends on whoever read it, but I really don't know any reaction that it got.
Yeah, I see. So. And while you mentioned that you kind of, hooked up with that initial organization, it's one thing to feel bad about circus animals and even to write that letter, but really, to do something about it is quite another story. What made you think about actually starting an organization that would deal with this issue?
Well, I was really interested, of course, in the Jane Goodall Institute and reading about, you know, what she has done and how she has raised money and stuff for, you know, monkeys and doing everything overseas. And, you know, I read about what other animal groups have done to help, you know, animals in puppy mills and help animals in laboratories. And, you know, I just felt that the information that, you know, I had received through the mail and read online, and they say how you can help the animals, and then they list off a bunch of things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those things was go out and boycott the circus and stand there and pass out flyers. And I was just like, no, that's really stupid. Nobody listens to you. People hate people who are out there boycotting like that, you know?
Yeah.
It's annoying, and I don't want to be a part of something like that. If I really care about it, something needs to be done to stop it, not just to boycott it. And that's pretty much, I just felt like all the other ideas were, you know, they were really dumb to me, and I just felt like it wasn't enough, and I needed to do more.
So is that then when you formed Youth Opposed to Animal Acts, your own organization?
Yes, that's when I formed it. And mm-hmm. again, we started with just a couple individuals, you know, just forming that small group to get this initiative going.
Yeah. So right from the beginning, the forming the organization was always kind of the aim of it was always to try to change the law, to get the initiative on the ballot. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, the organization was specifically created for this initiative. However, we did end up changing the name to Denver for Cruelty-Free Circuses.
Right.
And YOTA, Youth Opposed to Animal Acts, will hopefully keep going after this initiative, working, you know, on other issues and stuff to help shelter animals, etc.
Sure. Well, Heather, let me remind our listeners that this is Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. We're speaking with Heather Herman, the 15-year-old Denver activist who spearheaded, really, the effort to place an initiative on the ballot in Denver proposing that circuses that use animals would be prevented from performing there. So the vote is August 10th, and also Ringling Brothers has been, not coincidentally, in Southern California for a week or so in L.A., and then they open Wednesday at the Pond Anaheim and then move on to San Diego. So this is among the reasons it's sort of timely to speak with Heather. And you can join the conversation if you like, if you have a question for Heather, by calling us at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So, okay, so YOTA, your organization, kind of like evolved into then the Denver for Cruelty-Free Circuses just because you thought that would be more, maybe more helpful in getting the initiative placed on the ballot, or?
Well, yeah, the organization was, again, specifically created for the initiative,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, we got to thinking, we want this organization to keep going after, you know, the initiative. One of our goals is to help greyhound racing dogs and shelter animals, and unfortunately by law and the treasury and all that that comes with the campaign process, the a campaign name has to have a separate name than an organization, because once this campaign is over you can't exactly use that same name again. And we wanted to keep the name after the initiative, so it's sort of like this group, Youth Opposed to Animal Acts, is sort of running the Denver for Cruelty Free Circuses campaign.
I see. Oh. Heather, it looks like we have a phone call. Do you want to take a call from one of our listeners?
Sure.
Okay. Hi, you're on live on KUCI. It's Talking Animals with Heather Herman.
Yes, I have a question for Heather.
Okay, please go ahead.
Hi, Heather. I applaud what you're doing. I think you're such an inspiration to a lot of young people. I was wondering, how about your friends at school, or have you had a lot of help or support from kids your own age?
Well, you know, I think it sort of splits right down the middle, because, you know, a lot of my friends that are still my friends that I knew 3 years ago, you know, they're 100% supporting this, going all the way. Then I've got, you know, other friends who support it, not, you know, really getting involved, but they support it. And then I've got people who sort of just, okay, that girl's dumb, what is she doing, I don't agree. But, I mean, as far as, like, you know, going to school, I'm pretty much just, you know, normal. I mean, sometimes people will ask me about it, but for the most part, I haven't had much controversy, and a lot of people have been supportive, but I have had people who disagree with me.
Oh, I see. Well, thanks for taking my call, and good luck. You're doing a wonderful job.
Okay.
Heather, are you still there? All right, well, that's some nice technology here. All right, so we are going to get Heather right back on with this. I think that happened once before where you say goodbye to one caller and then you lose your your callers will speak to you. So we'll hear a nice little instrumental while we get Heather right back on the phone here on Talk Animals here on KUCI. Okay, we've got Heather back. I apologize, Heather. I'm not really sure quite what happened there, but I'm glad you're back with us, and I appreciate the caller there with that question, because I wondered about that as well. And just so it sounds like it's been generally pretty good, even though some of your friends and classmates look at it differently. But it sounds like it's been, you know, pretty reasonable in terms of people's reaction.
Yeah.
Just to back up for a sec, what all was involved? I mean, getting an initiative placed on a ballot is usually a huge undertaking, and I'm sure this was no exception. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of the process and like, you know, I'm sure for one thing, you must have had to collect a number of signatures and take other steps. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, basically, I mean, depending on, you know, your city or where you live, the rules sort of vary. But as far as Denver goes, they made it fairly easy for us. They had the Elections Commission had a pre-made packet how to put an issue on the ballot. And, you know, of course, we followed all the steps in that packet and collected the required amount of signatures, which was, I think, a little over 5,500.
Mm.
And that took, of course, you know, months last summer. We were doing that last summer.
Yeah.
But pretty much after, you know, we wrote up our ballot language, figured out specifically what we wanted the initiative to target, and specifically what would be exempt and what would be affected, then we submitted the ballot language, started collecting our signatures, and of course the Elections Commission, finding no flaws in the signatures, had to refer us to City Council, where by law they have to put our issue on the ballot. Of course, you know, everyone knows they didn't want to because they all voted it down.
Mm.
But they, by law, they had to put it on the ballot, and pretty much after they put it on the ballot, it's out there, and now we just have to educate people to vote.
Right, and that vote comes up August 10th, if I'm not mistaken,
yes.
Right, Heather? Yeah.
Yeah.
And just so people know, specifically, I'm just going to read a bit of the language, because, I mean, basically, if I follow this correctly, what the initiative proposes is to make it unlawful, this is, I think, a direct quote now, unlawful for any person to put on or sponsor a wild or exotic animal display on a public or private land within the city and county of Denver. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are some exceptions, obviously, the Denver Zoo, and but there's one or two other at least notable exceptions, right, Heather, that would not be affected by the initiative?
Yes, Initiative 100 does not affect the Denver Zoo, which is mm-hmm. our main zoo,
right.
Ocean Journey, the National Western Stock Show,
mm-hmm.
and that's specifically because this is an issue of traveling and performing wild and exotic animals.
Right, right, an important distinction, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, again, as I mentioned earlier in the show, and you and I talked about briefly a couple days ago, you know, a huge, huge part of why people like yourself and myself and many others, you know, are not, you know, supportive of circuses that have animals is not only what happens under the big top, but it's the travel. And unfortunately, you know, just a couple weeks, a little over a couple weeks ago, a lion, you know, under Ringling's care, quote unquote, died en route to another show, and so that's a big part of it. It's the travel, it's the stress, it's the confined conditions. Those are the things that are as much concerns of you and others like you, right, Heather?
Yes, that is. Yes, exactly right. And I mean, you know, when you think about it, that tiger was only 2 years old. He died a couple weeks ago, and he died in a boxcar that he hadn't been checked on in 3 days, and they try to cover it up by burying him. I mean, those are the exact type of conditions we're talking about, and that's exactly why this is the traveling and the performing that we're targeting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, our zoo here, we just got a new wild sea lion exhibit, and I mean, the zoo is doing everything in its power they can to try to give these animals a natural habitat more like their native one, where the circus is, you know, boxcars, chains, and cages.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And it all goes back to the point of, you know, you know, the moral of the story is that, you know, humans should really strive. If animals are going to be in captivity, we should strive to give them a habitat much like their native habitat.
Absolutely.
And, yes, and in the circus, you know, a lot of people, and might I mention, you know, Jane Goodall, the HSUS, ASPCA, and many, many other groups. You can go to our website, VoteYes100.org, to find out all our endorsers. But, I mean, we're not alone on this, and many people feel this exact same way.
Are you really 15? I'm just kidding. No, I mean, you're just, no, I'm just so impressed by you. And, yeah, I mean, the endorsers, yeah, Denver Zoo, Dr. Jane Goodall, Humane Society of the U.S., ASPCA, the Elephant Sanctuary, American Zoological and Aquarium Association. I mean, on and on and on. And again, yeah, we want to call attention to that website. It's www.voteyes100, then the numerals 100.org, and you can find out more about the initiative. But also, I mean, the other thing that's really important too is that this is not, you know, there are a lot of places both in the U.S. and Canada that have enacted similar legislation. And so, I mean, this would be, I think, the biggest city if the Denver one passes. But it's not, you know, there's a lot of areas where there's similar concerns, some here in Orange County even. I mean, Newport Beach, Huntington Beach, and many, many states have cities or areas that that have similar legislation. So it's not that far-fetched, and yet I know that anytime something, especially in a place as significant and large as Denver, that the Ringling Brothers folks, you know, obviously do not react well. What kind of response have they mounted, either officially or to the extent anybody can tell, unofficially, to try to defeat the initiative?
Well, I can tell you right now that they are really hitting big on the fact that they claim, you know, Ringling Brothers come to Denver and it's a 150-year-old family tradition, and how we're trying to take their entertainment right away.
Yeah.
And again, it's not true. I mean, responsible societies have always made provisions for the public good and animal welfare. You know,
yeah.
And you know, that's not what we're trying to do. There are other circuses who want to, you know, travel here that are humanely going to perform, and you know, so they really hit hard on the issue that we're trying to take away their entertainment dollar and their choice and their 150-year tradition. But you know, it's 2004, not 1904. Come on, wild and exotic animals and circuses. I mean, they're just no longer acceptable. Traditions change.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely.
And,
go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no, and I was just going to add, the only other thing they've really been hitting on was supposedly to them, it's going to cost the city a $8 million financial impact if Ringling Brothers doesn't come.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we had, you know, an economist look at the numbers. And, you know, we're talking about an economist with degrees from Harvard and Stanford and someone who really knows this issue.
Yeah.
With the money. And, you know, she found that, and, you know, it's the city, their analysis shows serious flaws.
Mm-hmm.
And that there wouldn't be a, you know, a financial impact whatsoever. So
wow.
That's the only other issue they're hitting on, is they're worried the city is going to lose $8 million, even though we've had this, you know, intense study done. The media, and they won't listen. They still want to believe it's $8 million when it's not. And you can read the full report at our website as well. And that's pretty much the two issues they've been working on.
Sure.
Except for animal care, but I mean, they can't go really far with that, because I mean, we've got USDA documents, we've got, you know, they're currently in the middle of a lawsuit, we've got former employees, former undercover videos, publications, you know, I mean, we've got a wealth of documents to disprove them. So they're not, you know, they haven't really been taking the animal route, because they pretty much know that they're going to lose.
Yeah.
So they've been, you know, they've been focusing on the tradition and the money.
Yeah, the economic factors, for sure. And I should let people know again that your website, dealing with the initiative, but it has a lot of great information and links to a lot of other important details and statistics and, you know, even videotapes that deal with the care or lack of care that happens for animals in circuses. So it's, again, it's VoteYes100.org. That's the website. And also, too, while I'm at it, I think there's a link to this, but just in case, I want to mention the Animal Protection Institute site, because there's a whole page on there that lists the local restrictions governing traveling shows and circuses in the U.S. and Canada. So you can see that that, you know, again, this is far from unprecedented, and a lot of different areas have enacted similar legislation because they know it's the right thing to do. And you're right, Heather, that, yeah, I mean, once, you know, sometimes Ringling people will talk about how great the animal care is, or especially their efforts in the field of conservation, which is hard, sorry, to even keep a straight face about. But yeah, I mean, that's not going to be any good because there's just been repeated instances, and now documentation and even videotapes showing what kind of care and sort of treatment and really abuse that those animals are often subjected to. And again, Clyde the lion dying a couple weeks ago probably doesn't enable them to say too much about the great care that that their circus animals get. So, and yeah, we should also mention, Heather, first of all, we got maybe just a couple more minutes. We're just about at the end of our time, but if anyone does want to ask Heather any other question, we can join us at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. It's Heather Herman, the 15-year-old Denver activist who's spearheaded the effort to place an initiative on the ballot in Denver coming up for a vote on August 10th that would propose that circuses that use animals would not be allowed to perform in the Denver area. So, and yeah, it's not like you're not proposing alternatives, right? I mean, there are lots of circuses that are great that don't use animals. Cirque du Soleil, Big Apple Circus, what are some others that are good in that same way, Heather, that you know of?
We've already had circuses. If Ringling Brothers decides not to bring their circus to Denver,
mm-hmm.
if an Initiative 100 passes,
yeah.
We've got Circus of the Kids, Swamp Theater Circus, New Shanghai Circus, Cirque du Soleil, Imperial Circus of China, Copper Circus Arts, which is right here in Copper Mountain, Colorado, Mexican International Circus, and Big Apple Circus. You know, they've already said they would come to Denver. Of course, Big Apple is in the process, but we have circuses saying they would come.
Wow,
you know?
That's great. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not 100% sure, but a couple of years ago, I believe it's inactive right now, but Ringling Brothers even had a, or, you know, the company they own or whatever, Feld, had a circus traveling without animals. And I think it's inactive now, but, I mean, we would welcome Ringling Brothers to Denver. They would just have to leave the abuse of their animals behind. You know, and move on with the time.
Yeah, well, that's be very interesting to see. And Heather, let me ask you this. I mean, you know, obviously we're going to hope that the initiative passes, of course, but either way, do you see yourself continuing to work on behalf of animals and animal causes?
Well, you know, a lot of people here especially have been saying things like, oh, the zoo's next, Ocean Journey's next, the stock show's next, you know, what's next? And it's like, you know, myself, I know that there's probably a lot of people who disagree with, you know, those organizations in particular, but me, myself, you know, I like the zoo because I believe that, you know, those animals have, you know, if they have no other place to go, the zoo helps them because, you know, it protects them from poaching and stuff, and that's all they have.
Mm-hmm.
And at least, it's, you know, it's a lot better than a circus.
Sure.
And, again, you know, I mean, I personally have no plans to attack anything like that. I do have to say openly, one of, an issue that I am very, you know, passionate about and have been researching is, in particularly, greyhound racing and probably puppy mills are probably the only other ones I would consider pursuing, and I don't even, that's just a maybe right now.
Yeah, well, that's, those are really good ones. In fact, at the beginning, you know, we have a little news segment at the beginning of the show, and the, one of the main stories that I talked about was this huge, huge puppy mill operation that's been happening in Southern California, sort of based partly in Mexico, and it's just, you know, obviously it's just awful, and all these people have bought these puppies, and then shortly thereafter they've died or gotten very, very ill. So, yeah, that's a really, really important issue. Let me ask you this, Heather. What's, if you had to pick one, what's your favorite animal right now?
You know, I'd have to probably say tigers.
Yeah.
Well, tigers and elephants are, of course, are probably a tie.
Sure.
But, you know, I really think tigers, you know, they're really amazing creatures. And if, you know, you watch Animal Planet, the Discovery Channel, I mean, you know, anything on, like, public television that you can just see them in their natural habitat, and it's just so amazing to watch them interact with their own species.
Yeah.
And as far as elephants, you know, I really respect elephants because they're the biggest mammal on the earth, and you know, when you just see how close they have family bonds, and how I was watching this one elephant special, how these elephants have been separated for about 30 years, and one of them went to live all by himself, and they decided to relocate him because, you know, elephants, they get really sad if they're alone.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing them and how that when they, so he saw this elephant after 30 years, you know, just really, it's just really touching to see how they still knew each other, and they were just like the best of friends after 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's another downside of the circus. They take them from habitats. They take them from, you know, even captivity habitats, mm-hmm. and they travel them around, and they get, like, barely any socialization. And so I think, you know, probably elephants and tigers is simply just, they're so amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Heather, gosh, I really, really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today on Talking Animals. And, of course, we're going to wish very good luck on the results on August 10th. And we want to urge our listeners again to go to VoteYes100.org. to find out not only about this initiative, but there's really a wealth of great information that people maybe where they're listening online or even locally here can find out how they might go about putting the things in motion to start a similar initiative on a ballot to prevent the circuses from coming to their area if they're still allowed to. So we really, really admire what you've done, Heather, and we wish you good luck on August 10th, and thanks again for joining us on Talking Animals.
All right, thank you.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye now. All right, we want to thank again Heather Herman for joining us on Talking Animals. And again, it's www.voteyes100.org. And really, again, chock full of great information and links to other further information and links to videos and stuff that may find difficult to watch at times, but, you know, really important for people who aren't as well maybe informed as they should be or would like to be about what goes on with circus animals and why such an initiative would, you know, be proposed, and why many, many cities and areas throughout the U.S. and Canada and beyond have already passed such legislation. So, anyway, again, thanks to Heather Herman, and we'll just keep a very good thought for August 10th. I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI and Irvine, 88.9 FM, streaming live on the Internet at KUCI.org. It's time now to proceed to Name That Animal Tune. Again, this is pretty much like any version of Name That Tune you'd care to mention, except that in this game, the tunes are always animal-related. So I'll play a snippet of this tune. There'll be a prize. That's right, prize. Yeah, we got CDs. We got cat toys, dog collars, all kinds of animal-related stuff. We got a really cool shirt that's very pertinent today that I'm willing to give up from Paws, the cool people Paws. And their shirt has a neat few drawings of elephants. It said, "Elephants do not belong in circuses." Very timely. So that's among the prizes you could possibly win. We also have a little sneak preview of the Finn Brothers, if you ever liked Split Ends or Crowded House. It's a couple of songs from their forthcoming album. We got all kinds of cool prizes. You can choose from any of them. If you're the first caller who correctly identifies the song and or artist, we'll make it, we'll give you it either way. So as soon as you recognize this animal tune, please phone us at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine.
Can you name that animal tune? Once again, the title is pretty prominently featured in the song. So if you do call in 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI, you can have your choice of all kinds of cool prizes. And I'm telling you, there are some really good prizes there. I haven't mentioned all. I can't mention them all. There's too many to mention. All right? So, I am Duncan Strauss. We've just about reached the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals. I want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. I want to again thank our guest Heather Herman and wish her luck on the August 10th election. Really, wish all of us luck in a way that passes. And meanwhile, for her sake and the sake of all our animal friends, please steer clear of circuses that use animals. There's tons of great circuses. There's other ways for animals to be exposed to your kids and vice versa. So just don't do it, please. I also want to thank you all for listening and for our phone caller. And I hope you'll join us next week on Talking Animals when our guest is Dr. Catherine Marachino. founder and president of the Nikki Hospice Foundation for Pets, really interesting organization that helps people whose animals who unfortunately have kind of reached the end of the line, and but maybe they don't want to have those animals pass away at a vet or a veterinarian hospital, and kind of helps people, much again obviously like humans that are in a similar situation. So pretty interesting, and so we'll speak with Catherine Marachino all about that next Monday, August 2nd here on Talk Animals. I hope you'll join us for that. Other great public affairs shows on KUCI include Just Today Alone, the Serena Sharp Show, which of course precedes Talk Animals. Then at 5 p.m. we offer Planetary Radio with Matt Kaplan, followed at 5:30 by Counterspin. And that's just Monday, folks. Great public affairs programming and talk shows like that virtually each weekday, 8 to 9 and 9 to 10 in the morning, then again 5 to 6 in the afternoon. On the music side of the KUCI schedule, I also host a show called The Dead Air Zone, Thursdays from 8 to 10 p.m. And that's a truly eclectic show from week to week, hour to hour, set to set even. So when you have a chance, please check it out. Also want to urge you to check out our website, talkinganimals.net. And when you get there, please sign up for our email list so we can alert you to guest bookings and other events and announcements. Also encourage you to email with any comments, guest suggestions, ideas about show topics, songs, comedy bits, news stories, and anything else you'd like to pass along at talkinganimals@AOL.com. I really, really look forward to hearing from you. And please stay tuned, of course, for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease, his great, great blues show here at KUCI. This has been Meanwhile Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And as always, we're going to close things out here with an animal-related tune. This is Joe Henry with Monkey. Catch you next week on Talking Animals.
I'll keep your monkey, I'll treat him good, I'll talk to him like he talks to you. I'll cut your corn and I'll keep it dry. Someday, 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 maybe you'll come back to me. Maybe someday, someday, maybe someday you'll come back. I'll dress myself in your finest thing. I'll chew my lip to keep it so. I'll try forgetting so I won't forget. Maybe someday, someday, someday. Of song and story. Looking just like the ice capade.